Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. We're coming to you Tuesday, July 15th, with a special call-in program. And today we're going to reflect upon the series for the last 4 weeks, Barack Obama, Not a Dime's Worth of Difference. We started the series with Barack Obama, Not a Dime's Worth of Difference, the title of the four-part series. And then we went on to discuss Obama's connection with ethanol and the captains of capital. The third was at the service of corporate and finance capital, again reprising the theme of his close connection with Wall Street and other corporate titans. And lastly, we discussed his embrace of the totalitarian state. That is, his support for the new FISA legislation in deepening the intrusion into our lives with warrantless wiretaps being made legal. So today we would like you to call in, and Michael, if you could help us out with the telephone number for our WBAI listeners to contact us in the tri-state area.
And I want to mention, brothers and sisters, that our next series will address the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac bailout and the full-throated support of the Democratic Party and Barack Obama of the Bush plan for just that, which will entail half the debt of the United States being underwritten by the federal government, which means, of course, the taxpayers, and the shareholders in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which are pension funds and the investment of retirement funds by unions and a variety of funds that cater to the needs of working people. These are what will be devastated, and these are what are going to be basically raided in the course of underwriting the bankers and the plutocrats. As Maya puts it, what we have in the United States under capitalism is the privatization of profit and the socialization of loss. And what that entails is exploitation. And the Democratic Party's central role, and Barack Obama in the lead in facilitating this, is a harbinger of what is to come, brothers and sisters. Because the crisis of fictive capital is deepening and expanding, and we are only at the very beginning. We're at a really tipping point in the crisis of capitalism. That is why the Democratic Party and the illusion of reform that enlists people to embrace one wing of the capitalist state is so critical at moments of crisis. When we have the potential for mobilizing in our own name, for creating a movement in a political party that reflects the needs of working people and the mass of our population that is targeted for not just exploitation, but not just repression, because the burden of what we were documenting about FISA is this vast expanse of interrelated computers in every major city monitoring all our communications is not an idle inquiry into who we're seeing, what we're saying, and what we're planning. It's, in fact, preparing for our detention on a massive scale, because all these spying apparatus operations are linked to the plans for detention. That is the gravamen of what is at stake with the Republican and Democratic parties, and with, whether it's Barack Obama or John McCain, who are basically hired hands in front for the capitalist apparatus and for the martial law plans that are inherent in the need to repress our population and in the plans for expanded war.
The number to call is 212-209-2900. 212-209-2900. And while you're getting ready to call in with your questions and comments about particularly our series, Not a Dime's Worth of Difference, we've had so many emails, so many messages coming to us that we thought this is a good opportunity for those of you who still haven't written to contact us with your opinions and your questions. I'd like to mention that voters in the New York City region, New York City itself, have a historic opportunity. Over the past months, we've been telling you about the NYC 9/11 ballot initiative. Well, we're coming down to the wire with it, and we need a minimum of 30,000 signatures of registered New York City voters. This is a city of 8 million people plus, and please, this is the time to get your signature on the New York 9/11 ballot initiative to get it on the November ballot. There is no time to lose. You can call 646-537-1755 if you don't have access to the Internet. If you do have access to the Internet, after taking aim, go to nyc911initiative.org. There are instructions there of how to download the petition, to sign it, to mail it in. And also, you can sign, you can get multiple petition forms and have your friends, three people, can sign one petition form. There's also a guest book to volunteer and go out on the streets and gather more signatures. As I mentioned, time is of the essence. We need you now. This is a historic opportunity and then one in which you can participate directly. This is the New York 9/11 ballot initiative, calling for an official investigation, an investigation by the people. Again, the number to call, 646-537-1755, and on the Internet, www.nyc911initiative.org.
Well, Maya, what this does, we've been discussing this over a period of time, Bill Pepper and you and I and Les Jamison and Frank Morales and the New York 9/11 Truth have been engaged in an intensive and all-encompassing campaign to compel the city council to, through ballot initiative, to implement a commission which will be an independent commission. It's not going to be official in the sense of the authorities being involved, but what it does do through the initiative process, brothers and sisters, is to give us subpoena power, and we will determine who's on that commission, and we will determine the parameters of investigation, and we will raise the issues of treason at the top, and we will pose all of the data concerning evidence that shows the hand of the U.S. authorities in the orchestration implementation of 9/11, the criminal conspiracy against the people of the United States, the sustained permanent war, what 9/11 is really about, the 9/11 crime against the people of the United States, which is never going to be investigated by those in power. But we have the opportunity through the referendum process to make this our investigation, with the capacity to compel witnesses to appear and to create the mass conditions for dissemination of the realities and the truth about what occurred in 9/11 with the maximum of attention on a global scale. Brothers and sisters, you've got to join this campaign. We have the opportunity in a city of 8 million people to gather at least 100,000 signatures, which is actually next to nothing. But it needs our involvement. It needs your participation. It needs your joining in the intensive day-by-day effort to get signatories to this call for a commission initiative to compel the city council to authorize this, which is what the ballot initiative would achieve. So please, a minimum of 30,000 signatures of registered New York City voters must be gathered. 100,000 signatures are within our reach. We are going to demonstrate to the city council and to Bloomberg that this mandate cannot be ignored. In fact, they will be compelled to acquiesce in the implementation of this commission by virtue of the ballot initiative. So please, 646-537-1755. It's not a spectator sport. Everything is at stake here. The next wars, the next massive repression that's in order, the expansion into an attack on Iran and Afghanistan and Pakistan, all of that is on the cards, along with the pending crisis of the system, which we're going to be describing in many shows to come, the economic crisis of which Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are but the tip of the iceberg. That is what is at stake in the ballot initiative, to call to account the captains of capital and to document and expose the crime of terrorizing the American people, the crime of being the orchestrators and the perpetrators of the events of 9/11.
And now back to the subject of our show, the Barack Obama as the Democratic Party presidential candidate, and not a dime's worth of difference. And the reason we have focused on this is his mantra has been change. And the issue is, will there be change with Barack Obama as president? And that is a subject that we have been covering because the question of illusions in the system, in the capitalist system and the project of the ruling class is a very important one to address here on WBAI. 212-209-2900. Michael, do we have someone on the line?
Is this WBAI?
Yes, hello. You're on the phone. You're on radio with Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen.
Oh, Ralph.
Yes.
Yeah, pack your bags and go to Cuba.
I'm sorry, brother. Say that again, please.
No, I think he was bleeped out because this was not somebody who wants to participate in dialogue. This was somebody who was calling with an overt attack. So we'll take another call, 212-209-2900.
Good evening, Ralph and Maya. Love, love, love your work.
Thank you so much.
And I have a suggestion and a quick two-part question.
Yes.
First of all, in addition to getting those that 9/11 initiative petitions signed and rolling, I think it's also important that people get on the web. And just for one suggestion, I would suggest it's 911dvdproject.com without the slash, www.911dvdproject.com, where you can get some fabulous DVDs on 9/11 truth and other issues such as hacking democracy. And you can also get literature. You know, where I live, I make sure my neighbors, you know, and in the stores and everything, you can get really poignant postcard-type literature for minimal fee and or a small donation. So everybody get to that. But my question is, we certainly seem to be living in apocalyptic times, and I'd like your ruminations, and you know, you don't have to put it all, the blueprint all together for us today, but I would like to hear some suggestions as, first of all, how we can come together as community, because I find the left, the progressive, is real lacking along those lines, and, you know, just issues of survival. And, Ralph, do you have any update on the very suspicious, strange, and frequent deaths of a number of microbiologists? Any update on that? And I love you guys. Keep up the good work, and I'll listen to your answers over there.
Oh, thank you so much, sister. Let me say this to you to take the last part of your question first. We have broadcasted a series on the great pandemic and the weaponization of viral agents, which has been a hallmark of U.S. military and intelligence policy, in which epidemic disease have been actually the genomes of key viruses have been modified in order to make a type of viral agent for which there is no immune response. The great flu that killed between 40 and 50 million people in World War I, the Spanish flu virus, they have actually resurfaced it, modified the genomes in order to weaponize this. And in relation to what you've been saying about microbiologists, many of the microbiologists who've been working in level 4, level 5, even level 3 laboratories and involved in this process, who have evidence about this process, are dying. They're being found dead in mysterious circumstances. They drop dead from heart attacks. They're found dead from karate chops. It's been an epidemic, and it's been well documented. We've been part of that documentation, and it's ongoing. So as far as an update is concerned, I can't give you specific statistics on the current numbers, but I can say this, that we have been documenting that literally hundreds of people who are distinguished by their role in working in this an area have been recorded in their deaths over the past 2 to 3 years. I would like to address briefly what you're asking about coming together. You know, we have a huge disaffection in our population. Between 70% and 80% of the population is totally opposed to the military adventures in Iraq and beyond. And beyond that, something like 84% of the population, according to the New York Times polls, in opposition to the two parties, the Democratic and Republican Party. People are profoundly disaffected. And the issue before us is building an alternative and reaching out to our people and creating an opening through the coming together of labor, working people, the community activist organizations. It's a matter of a clean break with the two capitalist parties. I would say this, that dictating the pace of events will be the crisis of the system itself, and that is a rapidly accelerating phenomenon. And as that occurs, masses of people will be pushed into motion. That's it. That's unfolding now as we speak, in my view. So it's a question of identifying what the problem is, not having picking and choosing within the two parties or the capitalist apparatus, looking for a lesser evil or an evil lesser, as it were, which only delays the process of building an alternative movement. We have to call this by its name, a capitalist system that is in terminal decay, cannot meet the elementary needs of humanity, is driven to permanent devastation and destruction and repression, has no way of addressing our most elementary needs. We need a clean break with it. We have to identify it as a criminal order and begin that process of building the alternative. Once that psychic break is made, and it's happening on a scale we don't yet register, we will have the means through which major change will unfold.
And you might think of it as a veil being lifted from people's eyes, and more people will get involved. And as more people get involved and engaged and have an understanding, then it becomes much easier to affect change. Well, let's go to our next caller.
What we're doing right now.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, our human species is facing our own extinction, extermination, eradication, and elimination. And basically why that's happening is because most people on this planet just don't get what a dictatorship is all about. It's about controlling people. It's about enslaving people. And people in any army, in any nation all over this planet, is basically a slave, and so are police. They just follow orders like goddamn robots who actually do not know how they're functioning and what they're doing. They are absolutely destroying their own families. Our environment is so polluted, and it's getting worse every day, that we just can't survive. So we have to get together and do something about it. I want people to understand, to join Kucinich and to impeach Bush and Cheney, because they are world criminals. We are never ever doing enough in the whole history of the United of the human species about stopping wars and stopping us from killing each other, because we're goddamn brainwashed. So
okay.
I'll listen to some comments from you, and let's get it done. Let's put him in jail right now.
Thanks for the call, brother, and thanks for the sentiment. I don't think that the problem lies with the mass of our population or that in other countries. People, something like 2 billion people are living on less than a dollar a day. I don't think it needs us to persuade them that they're being used and abused, that their conditions are onerous, that their plight is overwhelming. People know from their lived experience what it is that they're experiencing, what they're going through. And the challenge is not so much to teach people about what they're suffering, but rather to provide avenues of resistance, avenues of transformation, avenues of change. You have, with respect to the United States, a huge and organized labor force at the point of production, capable of bringing down the industrial economy to a halt through resistance, through strikes, through disaffection, and above all by creating a political instrument of our own. We started that with the Labor Party, with the slogan, the bosses of two parties, we need one of our own. I just want to make a brief comment about Denis Kucinich. I think it's a mistake to arouse expectations about Democratic Party figures like Denis Kucinich. Concretely, with respect to the call to impeach Bush, which is largely a formal request, when it was actually on the agenda in the Senate, Kucinich joined with those who called for it being tabled and not brought to a vote. It's largely rhetoric. It's largely display. And I have to point out as well that focusing on an impeachment of Bush really misses the point, because Bush is a figure who is totally facilitated and enabled by the nominal party of opposition, the Democratic Party. And concretely, with respect to Denis Kucinich's avowed opposition to the war in Iraq, for example, his position is to call for the introduction of international and United Nations troops, as it were, as an interim process through which there would be a timed withdrawal of U.S. Forces from Iraq. The members of the United Nations have the same class structure, the member countries, as our own. And these formulations are really just tactical devices for the Imperium to sustain its politics in the region. They have nothing to do with a clean break. It's not a declaration that the people of the United States are sustaining an aggression against the victim population in Iraq, a population with 1/10,000th the military capacity of the United States, over 2 million people killed in Iraq, 2 million internal refugees, the country radioactive from one end of the country to the other as a result of depleted uranium. It's a genocide that's been imposed upon the population of Iraq. You won't find a perception of that nature emanating from the likes of Denis Kucinich. We cannot gain any traction in exposing the crimes of imperialism, let alone mobilizing a resistance to them, by relying on enablers, those who are in effect trying to co-opt, deflect, contain, and absorb the anger and the rage and the disaffection that is abundant in the United States today.
Let's go on to our next caller. Thank you for calling.
The number hello?
Hello, you're on the air with
yes.
Ralph Shoneman and Maya Shone.
All right. My question was in the ethanol, and I was wondering why, yet without scientists, they haven't started to use hemp?
Having started to use what,
hemp.
Brother?
Hemp.
Or hemp.
Or
yeah.
Marijuana,
hemp.
You know, it's best one of our alternative plants.
Right, and people have used hemp for clothing. Hemp was originally, a long time ago, used in the production of ropes.
Well, actually, at the time of the American Revolution and at the end of the 18th century and the beginning of the 19th century, hemp was had multiple usage in, mm-hmm. in the United States.
That's right.
And it's a very versatile natural fiber, and it
that can solve some of our gas prices. Thank you. I'll listen to the air.
Thank you, brother. But I would say this to you with respect to the problem of gas prices and the like. You know, crude oil, petroleum, is a commodity, and as such, it is utilized as an engine for creating profit. It has nothing to do with human usage. It has nothing to do with creating an energy source for human need. It has everything to do with simply commodifying a product for purposes of profit. Something like 60% of the functioning wells are capped in the United States to keep the price up. It's not the question of alternative fuel, which is often posed, really is, in my judgment, the wrong question. Yes, fossil fuels are pollute, and there's a multiplicity of alternatives to fossil fuels, but will never happen under capitalism, because the purpose of production in capitalism is profit, not for human need or for planning or for social use and what have you. Whether it's a deployment of electric power or the mobilization of scientific ingenuity for hydrogen power sources of of energy, or tapping the enormous potential of the oceans as a source of sustainable energy in the United States, there's a multiplicity of potential alternatives to fossil fuels. And by the way, in that regard, one of the fictions that has been promoted is the notion that we are running out of crude oil. No question that we're not running out of this crude oil. Every coastline, every amount in the millions of years of production of creation of the conditions of the geological conditions for the creation of fossil fuels have made them more than plentiful, and it's only a question of the amount of money that's required to extract them. And what the big oil companies attempt to do with this fiction that we're running out is to create the political conditions for being subsidized by taxpayers in the state for the further exploitation of fossil fuel resources, shale oil, sand oil, all of that, which is a multiple of the available reserves offshore and under the Rocky Mountains, which are accessible. There is a virtual ocean of crude oil. It's not a question of lacking the fossil fuels, or the means, for that matter, of solving the issues of pollution. It's that there's no incentive under capitalism for that to occur. It will not occur. There will be, you know, capitalism fouls things up. And the energy crisis is a manufactured crisis which is designed to sustain capitalist control. It's not much more than that. These are easily addressable issues. The trillions upon trillions of dollars that are deployed in waste production, whether it's military production or planned obsolescence or the subsidizing of banks and corporations and their offshore illicit gains, all of the fruit of our labor would be sufficient in a very short time with planning to create free food, free housing, free schooling, an entitlement like the air we breathe. In any rational and planned society with democratic control, there's nothing mysterious about this. It's a question of being able to break with a system that is no longer capable of meeting the most elementary requirements of the people it uses and abuses.
Next caller. The number to call is 212-209-2900 to reach Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen for this call-in program of Taking Aim.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, I would just like to make a brief observation about the so-called left in the United States, the anti-war movement. I have noticed that you discuss the fact that 9/11 was an inside job and that the Twin Towers were brought down by controlled demolition. With so-called leftists that are anti-war, they don't want to discuss it. They dismiss you. They called you a conspiratorialist. And they don't want to deal with the issue. How has it come to the point that the so-called left in the United States refuses to deal with the truth about 9/11?
Well, I mean, I think what you're addressing here is a very real problem about what passes itself off as a left, namely people who espouse opposition to the system as such, but who constantly look for some means through within the system to make minor change. The constant seduction into the arms of the Democratic Party, it's primarily that sector of the so-called left, which is always involved in promoting a what I call a bourgeois alternative. You know, brother, if you remember, George McGovern was one of the people like Kucinich and to some extent Barack Obama, and Franklin Roosevelt before him, who enlisted these expectations from people who passed themselves off as avatars of the left. And in fact, I must reference here, I wrote a piece in 1972 for the Village Voice called The Socialist Case Against McGovern. Now, it's interesting that the campaign chairperson for McGovern was Gary Hart, who was actually a former Central Intelligence Agency operative, and as he put it in the New York Times at that time on May 9th, our strategy all along was to co-opt the left. George McGovern voted in the Senate for all the specific defense appropriations for Vietnam. In 1966, 67, 68, and 69. All those bills specified funds for all operations in Vietnam, And McGovern supported in the same period, eight supplemental allocations requested by the Pentagon for the war. He voted against allowing drafted soldiers to be represented by a lawyer before the draft board. He put forward an amendment making an offense to travel or telephone across state lines to incite a riot, which was the standard device in that time for crushing freedom of speech, travel, and association. He voted to disqualify from public employment for 5 years persons convicted of crimes related to riot or mass resistance. He voted to allocate $400 million to the police for wiretapping and surveillance, and so on and so forth. And I mention all that. I won't even get into here his record on labor. But, you know, you can produce the same results for Walter Mondale. You can produce the same results for Barack Obama, who has just now displayed his fealty to the repressive state with his embrace of the FISA extension, and as we've been documenting in our series with respect to the economic and other advisors to Barack Obama, his fealty to the same corporate types who advised Reagan and who implemented the policies of Bush Sr. and then Clinton. So the question of 9/11 and the failure of that sector of the left that retains illusions in such figures as Barack Obama or McGovern or whomever, Abercrombie Mufufnik for that, the next faker within the Democratic Party, it's the problem of the inability to address this in a crisis that we face in a systemic way. And one other point to mention to you, of course, with respect to 9/11, as we've been documenting over the years and taking aim, every major military adventure has proceeded on the basis of fake operations like 9/11, whether it's the war to amputate two-thirds of Mexico, the Mexican War in 1846, based upon a staged operation imputing to Mexican soldiers attacks on U.S. soldiers. They were U.S. soldiers in Mexican uniform. Abraham Lincoln documented that in the Congress. It's a whole history. So what passes for the left that refuses to acknowledge, register, and to mobilize the population against this realities is what we call gatekeepers. They are facilitators of the established order. Okay.
It's time now for Station ID.
WBAI, New York, New York, New York, New York, WBAI, New York, New York, New York, New York.
We're the New Orleans Jazz Vipers at WBAI, New York City.
This is Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. We have a special program today, a call-in show, discussing our four-part series, Not Barack Obama, Not a Dime's Worth of Difference. The number to telephone is 212-209-2900. Again, 212-209-2900. And thanks so much for all your calls so far. And before we go to our next caller, I want to announce again, we're in the last stages of the preparation for the new NYC 911 ballot initiative. To get an initiative on the New York City election ballot for this coming November, we need a minimum of 30,000 signatures of registered New York City voters. And in the city of 8 million, it should be easy to gather 100,000. But we must get 30,000. And that means you. If you haven't yet signed the petition, you can go today after the program to www.nyc911initiative.org. Read the instructions section, download the petition, sign it, and mail it in. You could also download the multiple signature form, have three of your friends, family, and colleagues, or neighbors, people on the street who are registered voters, sign it and mail that in. Fill in the guest book to volunteer to gather even more signatures. Join the team that's out on the street, meet people, have fun, and get more signatures. If you aren't online, if you don't have a computer, or you're not going to the library to use the computer there, call 646-537-1755. Again, that's 646-537-1755. Leave your contact information and somebody will be calling you. Time is of the essence, so please act today. Please act today. We really need to get the NYC 9/11 ballot initiative on the air. And those of you who've been listening to Taking Aim all these years, I don't have to explain why this is so important. But what I do have to say today, and we'll be saying again and again over the coming weeks, please get involved. This is up to you. Here is a moment where you can it's a historic opportunity, and you can make a difference. People have been calling in and saying, what can we do? What can we do that's going to affect change? This is an important step that you can take, and you'll be doing it with wonderful people. So please go to nyc911initiative.org, download the petition and sign it in, and particularly download the multiple signature form. Have your friends and family and neighbors sign it. Send that in. And if you're not online, call 646-537-1755. So again, to our subject of the day, the four-part series of the last 4 weeks, Not a Dime's Worth of Difference, about Barack Obama, the Democratic Party presidential candidate. So the number to call again, 212-209-2900. Michael is somebody with us already.
Hi, everybody. This is Barbara from the city. I love you guys.
Great, Barbara. You're on the air.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
And I want to tell you, I agree with you. There's not a dime's bit of difference. Please excuse my voice. But I have a strategy on how to get the Green Party as well as Ralph Nader in on the ticket to, you know, to get ballot status. And because the Green Party convention was on BAI, I'm going to double my subscription next time around here when it gets renewed. And also Howard Jordan had Cynthia McKinney's VP Rosa Clemente on. So I think all Greens should really support BAI in a big way because of that. Now, I also have a couple of contacts for both, but this is a strategy, and I agree with you. There is not a dime's bit of difference. What you do is, if a state is already, like out in the West, there's Democrat and Green Party, and the Green Party is definitely going to be on the ballot with no problem, then you support Ralph Nader to get him on the ballot. So the two, we've got to get them both on the ballot and both 5% so they can both be in the, you know, when they have the discussions, I forget, the debates. And the way you do this is really do, if a state is for Nader and he already has ballot status in a state, then you work for the Green Party and vice versa, you understand? And if we all did this, we could win because they had one survey that said 44% for Obama, 41% for McCain. Now, to me, that adds up to 85%. So we've already got 15% of independent votes, and we could do this. And it's important for the Green Party to be the alternative third party, and if everybody just decided to get them on the ballot in all the states, that would be a major move because Nader, with all of his trekking around, he has been supporting Green Party candidates forever, okay? He has had fund drives for them. There's no disagreement with Nader and the Green Party. It's just some mismanagement is the only problem. So there's a future in the Green Party for Nader, okay? So that's his strategy now. The local number for the Green Party is the downstate coordinator phone number here. His name is Josh, and the number is 718-909-6343. Again, that's 718-909-6343. And his email is josh@votenator.org. josh@votenator.org. Now, for the Green Party, it's the Bronx County Green Party, and the fellow's name is Carl, and their number is 718-652-2110. Again, 718-652-2110, and their website is bronx-greens.org. That's bronx-greens.org. And actually, what I'm going to do, guys, is split my donations between the two. I'm going to give to the Green Party for Cynthia, because she's a worthy candidate, and that was one of the reasons why Ralph did not want to run on the Green Party, because he has a high regard for Cynthia. And so I'm going to give her half, the Green Party half, and the other donation for half for Nader. And I think if we all do this and just decide we are stronger than they are, and we must have the courage of our convictions and do this for the whole country, I think we can do it. What do you think?
Barbara, I want to thank you very much for that. And I certainly embrace your desire to have an alternative to the two major parties, the two capitalist parties. That is essential. I hope you'll not be too upset with me if I express some reservations about the Greens and Ralph Nader, and I'll try to explain why. In the past, when Ralph Nader has been the presidential candidate of the Greens, he has espoused what we call an inside-outside strategy. Now, we have to remember that that Ralph Nader had endorsed John Edwards during the primary voting in the Democratic Party. And indeed, during the time that he himself was a candidate of the Green Party, in calling for what the Greens call an inside-outside strategy, he recommended that those who wanted to support him do so only in states where Bush was certain of a large victory. In those circumstances, he called for votes for the Greens and himself. But in those states where the election was close, as it was perceived to be, Ralph Nader recommended that the people support the Democratic Party candidate, and he explained that in terms of wanting to pressure the Democrats to move to the left, that is, to move towards a Franklin Roosevelt reform agenda. So that is not, in our judgment, a clean break, you understand, because the problem, I think, with Green Party politics is that it does not clarify the underlying politics of capitalism and the political expression of those politics as the obstacle to change in the United States. So those are our reservations about the Greens. Cynthia McKinney has been involved with the Restoration and Reconstruction Party in New Orleans, a black party largely, which calls for fundamental challenge to the exploitation of the population of the Gulf after the catastrophe of Katrina. Her politics are certainly more advanced. But the Greens, in our judgment, are not a vehicle because of the inability to break cleanly with the politics of the capitalist parties and notably the Democratic Party itself. So those are our reservations, because I think the problem is that if you create the illusion in people that the Democratic Party is in some sense pressurable to do something different, we obscure the fact that these two parties are shells. They are funded by the same folks, the big banks and the big corporations. You know, Barack Obama's principal economic officer, the man who would very likely be his Secretary of Treasury, is a man named Furman, J. Jason Furman. Well, Jason Furman was the director of the Hamilton Project, set up by banks, corporation executives, and the heads of the major Wall Street hedge funds. The Hamilton Project guides the speculative investments of the major banks. And this same figure called for the slashing of fundamental social programs, including Social Security and Medicare, advocates free, the euphemism called free trade. This is a clear signal to Wall Street that was given by Barack Obama that by choosing Jason Furman and all of the people around Rubin, the Citigroup executive Robert Rubin, who was the Clinton administration's Treasury Secretary, that you have the same old, same old. This Jason Furman not only defended Walmart, but called for the privatizing of Social Security accounts and benefits, just along the same lines as the Bush administration. And I mention that because that's why the notion that you can influence or pressure the Democratic Party or the or people like Barack Obama or that whole group of politicians that are at the service of capital into challenging the system that has created them, that finances them, that is responsible for their political careers, is a sad illusion. And we need a much more class-based, in my judgment, political challenge based on labor, as I say, based on the mass of the working population, based on the rank-and-file trade unionists, based upon the oppressed in our society, black population. We need a radical black party linked to a working class party and a labor party. We need a challenge to the system. We need an identification with the victims of the system within our society and without. It's not a matter of charity work for the people of Iraq or the people of Afghanistan or the people under attack by the United States. It's a matter of identifying with their resistance to U.S. imperialism, associating ourselves with that, demonstrating to our population how they are used and abused as cannon fodder to fight other poor and oppressed people on behalf of our own masters. We won't hear those kinds of articulations from middle-class parties, and in my judgment, the Greens fall into that category. I embrace the challenge to the Democratic Party, but we have to test whether it's concrete, it's sustained, and whether it's real.
Michael, to our next caller. Hello, can you get closer? I think we lost that caller, Michael. We can go on to the next. The number to call is 212-209-2900. Hello? Michael?
Hello?
Yes,
you're on the air with Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen.
Hi. I've been listening to your station, to your program, for about a year now, and I just want you to know that I really appreciate and admire the truth that's spoken, and I rely on you heavily for this information, though I feel that sometimes it contradicts some of the information that you hear in earlier programs throughout the day on the same station. You speak about Obama, and you actually bring up issues that, knowing them, specific things that you bring up, I don't know how other people on the station can actually feel that he is a candidate that we should all admire and want to be a president in this country. So that's one question. I know it's a station that represents public opinion, and all opinions should be spoken, but I just fail to understand how on the same program, if I'm listening to it as an outsider, how people who work for the station or work at the station can speak about Obama as if he's somewhat a gift to this country, knowing the things that he promotes and believes in.
Well, the beauty of WBAI and how it was established is as a free speech vehicle, diverse viewpoints. And the viewpoints we express are the viewpoints of Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen, not of WBAI itself. Whether or not other programmers are listening to our program, we hope so. We think we have something to contribute and to say, and people throughout the world agree with us, just, you know, that we have something of value and it's worth listening to our program. So if you tune in at various points of the day, you're going to hear different viewpoints, and then you can decide for yourself. We document meticulously everything we say. As you know, we give the sources, we cite, and then what we offer is our analysis based upon much reading, historical tracks, a lived experience of being involved in many movements, and also the political analysis that we confirm, Trotskyist analysis, based on the historical and sociological analysis of Karl Marx, Leon Trotsky. So I can't speak for other programmers. I hope they listen. I hope people come to the same conclusions as we are offering, because that's how we'll build a broad and extensive movement. If people continually have illusions in Barack Obama, as they did with Bill Clinton, we're back in the same old.
Can I just ask one question?
Of course.
More than another thing. You know, if we only had these two candidates, I mean, realistically, they're really the only ones that people can choose from. And we know that people can do things that are crooked or deceitful to make sure that the party that they want wins and is elected. I think that's been proven in the past. And, you know, we had another caller who spoke about Nader and the Green Party and how that's suspicious in its own way. I mean, what can we really do when we know that we're most likely going to end up with one of these two candidates, and they do have their own interests, and they're not beneficial to us as a nation and as a population and as human beings?
I think you see the great socialist leader Eugene Debs, who ran in the Socialist Party and received several million votes from prison. But Gene Debs used to say, it's better to support what you want and not get it than to support what you don't want and get it. And that, I think, is the problem with many people who consider themselves to be on the left, but who create or embrace illusions about capitalism and the politics that are paid for and engendered by capitalism. They support what they don't want. They hold their nose when they do it, and then they get it. And then they rationalize it. And the problem is, the longer you wait, the longer it takes. If we, of course, the two parties have a monopoly over the political process in the United States because it's purchased. I mean, these are, you know, we're talking about a multi-billion-dollar undertaking on the part of the capitalist state to sustain two political parties wholly paid for by banks and corporations, the captains of capital. This is their apparatus of political control. And the state itself is nothing more than the means through which the banks and the corporations subsidize themselves at the, you know, it's the corporate soup line, as we know. I mean, they bail themselves out with taxpayers' money. They subsidize their operations. They don't pay taxes. And then they use the enforcement apparatus of the state to repress us, and then they control the means of communication, which is why free speech radio is so important. They control the education system by subsidizing the teaching agenda, the educational program, and so on. It's systemic. It's organized in a systemic fashion, and so therefore, to be incorporated within that systemic means of by which we are exploited and used, and to pick and choose amongst the instruments of it is a policy for certain failure and demoralization and depoliticization and disillusionment and despair and hopelessness. But the truth of the matter is that for all the mass of money and the power that the capitalist state enjoys and that its political parties seem to command because they're subsidized, they cannot address the most elementary needs that people experience and have. And as we see, day by day, capitalism is in terrible crisis. Trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars of debt that they can't pay. A fictive financial economy that's based upon paper shuffling with no real value underlying it. And the politics reflect that. So we need to be able to identify this. That's what we try to do at Taking Aim, to identify and describe and document what the system is. The politics that we want are basic and simple. We want to be able to control our own lives and to have a politics that answers the most elementary needs of people. We can accomplish that by a clean break, by being clear about what we're up against, and then what we support will reflect what we want and not some expectation about what we might be able to get from those who oppress us.
We have the signal. We thank all of you who have called in, and we hope to do this again. Next week, we'll return to our regular programming of Taking Aim. This has been Taking Aim with
Ralph Shunman
and Maya Schoen. Please visit our website, www.takingaimradio.com, where you'll find our 7-year archive and particularly the last 4 weeks of Barack Obama, Not a Dime's Worth of Difference. And also contact us at takingaim@pacbell.net.
And do support the 9/11 Truth Initiative. We can expose the criminal nature of the state in creating 9/11 and promising to create many more 9/11s in the future.
That's NYC911initiative.org. We'll be with you next week.
And you are tuned to listener-sponsored, commercial-free community radio WBAI in New York, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. Our website, WBAI.org, is always available and is a great way to